good to see everybody present this morning, and especially to have the children of the congregation back. I've been in congregations where children are a disruption because there are some wrong attitudes by some of the older members of the congregation, and they seem perturbed when they hear a baby cry. They seem perturbed whenever children have to be called down, when they may not be acting exactly right during the worship service, and they become perturbed. And that's not the attitude I believe that Christians should have. What we're doing and what we'll be talking about at the end of the lesson, that really needs to be mentioned right now, the future of the cause of Christ is with the children. And when we need to recognize that, we need to glory in them. We need to realize just what we have in the blessing of children in this congregation, and not only in this congregation, but of course as individuals. When we look about this, I want to start with some initial words in Scripture for the children of this congregation. And I want you to pay attention as we're talking along these lines and what the Scriptures say. First of all, we have elders. We have shepherds in this congregation. And the congregation is designed as God would have it to be designed. And these men, they're not rulers and they're not kings, but rather what they are examples for not only us, but also for the children of this congregation. And so, children, I'm going to want you to do this, and that is pay attention to those shepherds of our congregation. And realize that they're not domineering, as is stated in 1 Peter the 5th chapter and verse 3. And realize that they are examples not only to Christians, but also they are examples to you, even if you're not a Christian right now, even though if you have not become a child of God. And what I want you to do in this, in looking to these men, first of all, is learn from them. Boys, I want you to see how the elders conduct themselves. And I want you to grow up, hopefully, with that desire to shepherd a congregation with other shepherds when you get older. I know that there are a lot of programs that are out there, preacher training programs in congregations, and that's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you that the congregations today need more elders than they need preachers. They need elders to direct the flock, to watch and to care over the flock, and that is needed, and I am afraid that there's not enough emphasis placed upon that, and we think about those that stand in the pulpit more often than we really should in connection with that. Receive training, children, from the shepherds that we have here, so that one day you can become a shepherd. I'm talking to the boys. For the girls, I want you to watch these fine men that are our shepherds and their fine wives. And I want you to notice how those good men treat those good women. And especially those that are a little bit older. Of the children I'm talking to right now, as time goes on, you'll think about finding a mate at some point in time. And there have been those that have jumped and rushed into that situation without really investigating, I think, thoroughly what it is that they're about to get into and who they're about to get into it with. And oftentimes there's been great disappointment in that situation. I realize there's no surety in life, but we need to really do an extensive amount of homework in connection with those that we intend to marry and to live with for the remainder of our life. And so, girls, I want you to see how these fine men, these shepherds, treat their wives with the honor and respect, and how they place them upon a pedestal and not talked down to or treated in an untoward way. I want you to notice that. But I also want you to notice the fine wives of these shepherds that are here today, of how they enjoin themselves into the work, how they treat their husbands, how they have readily given themselves in subjection to their husbands, and not only that, but also to the work of the Lord. And use them as an example, girls, for the type of wife that you hope to become or should become when you get older. And so you pay attention to the shepherds. They're given as examples for the flock. That is from the oldest of us to the youngest of us. They're given as examples unto the flock, and you remember that. And I want you to notice with me some other things. Children, recognize that you're a gift from God. And we see that when we look in Psalm 127 and verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. Now, I don't want you to get the big head. And I don't want you to think, well, you know, I'm a gift from God. You can't say anything to me. I can do what I want. That's not the thought. It's just like if you receive a present for your birthday. That present doesn't rule over you. You are a present from God to your family, to your mother and to your father. You don't do the ruling, but you are a gift from God. You're not your own, but rather you belong to the Lord, and you are placed then in temporary oversight of the parents here upon this earth. But you're a gift from God, and recognize that. And as you live your life and as you conduct your life as children, recognize that you are a gift from God. You know, that's an awesome responsibility, first of all, in recognizing that. And I think sometimes it's not recognized. And sometimes children don't act properly because they don't realize the connection that they have with God. Not only that, children, you're a delight of your grandparents. When we look in Proverbs 17 and verse 6, Solomon says, grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of the children is their fathers. And there's oftentimes been a lot of jokes been made about this. Whenever you get grandchildren, the grandparents will say, if I knew how much fun it was, I'd have them first. Of course, that's not possible. But the statement here is absolutely true. So precious. You are so precious in the sight, not only of your parents, but also of your grandparents. And what I want you to really think about in connection of both, that you are a gift from God and that you're a delight to your grandparents and you are the glory of your parents. You think about how you treat your parents. And you think about what you do when your parents tell you to do something. And you think about the honor and respect that is your duty as a child to give to your parents and to your grandparents. And I'll tell you, whenever that takes place, you will be such a pleasing gift to each and every one. And that will be seen by all. But also recognize this. You are used as an example by our Lord. When I look over in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 1 through 4, it says about Jesus, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say unto you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The humility that you should have as a child is exactly what is portrayed by Jesus for all of us. That example that is given. And we don't have any sort of respect of person based upon race and so forth. We don't have those things because of what is presented to us by the child that is used as the example, as we see here in Matthew, the 18th chapter. And we become childlike in that way of humility, not in matters, of course, of that which is for the grown-ups, but in matters of humility. We become as children. So you're used as an example. Wherever you think about that, that also should affect the way that you act. That realizing that you are used as an example, you need to be obedient. You need to recognize that you have those that are older in the congregation that you need to give honor to. You listen directly to your parents, and that you do what they say and you're obedient to them, and you don't backtalk them. You know, I go out into the world today and I go around in stores and so forth, and I'll hear a parent say something to a child, and the child will start to argue with the parent, sometimes even hit at them with their hand. That's not the proper type of honor. And that's not the proper type of respect that you're to show as children to your parents, because you are an example of the Lord for each and every one of us. You must always be a joy to your parents. Notice what is stated, first of all, in Proverbs 10 and verse 1. These are Solomon's proverbs. Wise children make the fathers proud of them. And I remember when we had our kids at home, I just couldn't wait to get them loaded up and go to a gospel meeting for people to see these little ones that we were carrying around, and they were behaved, and they knew if they didn't behave, they would get behaved real quick. But it was like showing off a great prize or a possession that you have. And really, that thought is there. Why children make their parents proud of them. But it also says, foolish ones bring their mother's grief. And so what we do there is, the way that you act, make sure that you don't cause grief for your mother or for your father. But rather that pride is there because you are doing what they say. And I'll tell you, in doing that, you're really giving God the glory. You really are. But we also see in Proverbs 17, verse 25, foolish children bring grief to their fathers and bitter regrets to their mothers. And as time goes on, that is the case many times. And it's very sad that takes place. But it does. And we recognize that after children get out of our control, they have choices then that they make. And we recognize that. But I will tell you, and I will just now shift this a little bit from the standpoint of child as far as age is concerned to child as far as relationship is concerned. And that, so then this statement is for each and every one of us. We don't act in any way to give grief to our parents. And many of us have lost our parents. But some of you still have your parents present with you. Do not act in a way that causes grief to them. If you've become a Christian, recognize your responsibility. I want you to know that I recognize that we have some young Christians in this congregation. And we recognize that you are still a child. But I also want you to realize your responsibility as a Christian, as a child of God. I'm going to use a principle from a statement that is found in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter and verse 40. All things should be done decently and in order. And so I'm talking now specifically to those children that have become Christians. If I put it this way, I want you to think about how it sounds. Look at that Christian running up and down the aisles before and after services. Look at that Christian playing tag in the building. Look at that Christian running past the older folks that may not be able to keep themselves upright very well. Look at that Christian that is talking or playing or reading something other than the scripture during the sermon. Look at that Christian doing that. It doesn't sound good, does it? You have a responsibility. We recognize that you are a child. This, I believe, I will be able to speak by permission, not rather by doctrine. We recognize that you are a child, and if you want to go out in the back, I'd rather have you in the back, and you want to run and play out there after services, you do that. We recognize you're a child. But while you're in here, you recognize your place as a Christian. And you recognize that you are setting an example to others. So that means you don't join in with others that are acting unruly, but rather you even talk to them and you say, no, I'm not going to run in here and I'm not going to be playing in here. I come here to serve my God. And I come here in respect of those that are older than myself, and I'm not going to give my parents grief in the way that I act.
Amen.
And so you have a responsibility in that. All children, I want you to notice now how you will always be a joy, not only to your parents, but a joy to each and every one that is present here in this congregation. Let me just tell you, I recognize that the great joy for the children is in their parents. But let me also say this, you are a great joy to everybody here. You're a great joy to everybody here. And we are so blessed having as many children as we have. So often congregations get down to the size that we are right now, 35 to 40, it's just the older folks. I like older folks, I'm one of them. But I glory in children. I think each and every one of us should do that. So as we look here, I want you to notice Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 to start with. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we consider this thought about obeying. It is to listen and to hearken to a command, to obey, be obedient to, submit to. I've used this analogy before. It's been quite a while ago. Some of you are 3 years younger, older than what you were when I first used it, so I'm going to use it again. Some of you haven't heard it. When Catherine, when Catherine's mother was a child, she was playing out in front of the house where they lived. And her mother looked out the kitchen window, as I recall the account. It's not a story, it's an actual account. And saw a rabid dog coming down, headed right for the child, Ruthie, Catherine's mother. And she walks over to the door and says this, "Ruthie, come in the house." And Ruthie gets up immediately, doesn't fuss, doesn't argue, and walks in, and that dog walked right where that child had been sitting. Well, this thought of obedience is here, and I want you to understand that, because you may not always recognize danger that exists. Not only that, you need to also recognize the honor in obedience to your parents. So when they tell you to do something, don't question it, don't talk back, don't always ask your standard question. You know what your standard question is. Why? Don't do it. Just do what they say. I will tell you, more than likely, because this was back in the early 1900s or late 1800s, I'll get that straight later on. Whenever that was, this is the 1900s. Whenever that was, and them living in the country, a good chance that Ruthie would have died if she had been a child that was belligerent. But she got back up and did exactly what her mother said, and she was saved. She was saved. That's a lesson for you. Y'all pay attention. That was a lesson for you. You do what your parents say, okay? It might protect your life, might keep you from getting hurt. And certainly, from the standpoint of obey your parents in the Lord, and that thought is there, that obedience. And you think about it from Matthew 21, 28 through 31. Jesus gives a parable. What do you think? He says, "A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in my vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and he went." That was a good thing that he changed his mind. It's not a good thing that he talked back to his parent. But it's a good thing that he came to his senses and did what he was supposed to do. "And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father ultimately at the end?" Well, of course, the answer was the first, because he did. But I'm going to call upon the children to obey the parent in the first time that they're asked, and not have to think about it later on. But you do it the first time, wherever that you are told what to do, you do it immediately. And then we think about it from the standpoint of in the Lord. The children being with their parents in the Lord are to be influenced by religious duty as well as by natural affection. Barnes says this thought in the Lord, that is, as far as their commandment agree with those of God and no further. Here is something that you can have a complete trust and surety about in this congregation. If your parents tell you to do something, it's not going to be against the will of God. That is not going to happen. They are not going to instruct you to steal. They're not... I'll use Nathan. Nathan, I'm sure, is valuing his time off right now because of the job that he has. Nathan will never tell any of his children, where the phone rings, tell them, "I'm not here." He'll never do that. He'll never ask you to lie. No parent here will do that. So you can have a surety, a trust, that what they tell you to do is in accordance with God's will. And we see that thought of in the Lord in Romans 16, chapter 1 and 2. We see it, of course, in 1 Corinthians 1, 31, 1 Corinthians 7, 22, and 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. Now, I'm not going to belabor the point on that. I think that we understand that aspect. Then, obey your parents and the Lord, he says, for this is right. Righteous, and it is observing of divine laws. In other words, understand this. It is your responsibility to do what your parents tell you to do. It is your responsibility. And even if one of your siblings isn't doing what they're supposed to do, you are not to say to your parent, "Well, they're doing that, why can't I?" Or even if it's another friend that's doing something and you don't have the right to say, "Well, they're doing it, why can't I?" You do what your parents tell you to do because they understand what is best for you. They understand that. And so whenever I think about that, I think from the standpoint of what is stated in Psalm 119, verses 127 through 128. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. You look to do good. You don't look to how can I get away with something. But rather, you look what will make my parents happy and ultimately what will make the Lord happy. We see also in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, honor your father and mother. And we see that thought about honor. There is a degree of affectionate respect which is owed to the parent. Because they are your parents, you owe them then that honor. And when we see this, over in Mark 7, chapter verse 10 through 13, Moses said, Jesus is saying here that Moses in the law said this, honor your father and your mother, and whosoever reviles his father and mother must surely die. You know, we're blessed people. Under the old law, if a child was disobedient and rebellious to a point where they would not obey the voice of the parents, they were put to death. That doesn't take place today. And so we're blessed in that. But we still have that honor that is to be shown by us. But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatsoever you have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. I don't know how much of this will stick. With the age that many of you are now, I know that Lydia is going to get it. The others may get it also. They may lose it later on. So this will give me a chance to preach this again at some point in time. Whenever your parents are older, and when they get to the point where they cannot care for themselves, it is your responsibility to care for them. And this is what Jesus is talking about here in this particular passage, Mark 7, 10 through 13. And you can look in today's world and there are those that have no respect for the elderly and there are so many that do not have respect for even their own parents. They are nothing but a bother to them. They're in the way. They're time consuming. I know we are. But yet, there is honor that is due them and an expectation by God to you as children. I don't care if you are 50 years old, if your parents are still alive, they need you. You are to be there for them. And you are to help them. It is your responsibility. When we look at Matthew 15, 7 through 9, you hypocrites, Jesus said, well did Isaiah prophesy to you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. I use that passage to offset what Jesus was talking about in Mark the 7th chapter. They made up their own rules in connection with caring for their parents. You don't have the right to do that. You have the expectation that comes from God. But these promises, these commandments were also given with promise, annexed by command from the law in context of dwelling in the land. That's the direct context. When it says that it may be well with you and live long on the earth, there in verse 3, that direct context when it was first given back in Exodus 20 had to do with the land that they would come in and possess. But I think that there is an application here. Paul applies this as a general principle of being long-lived. And it is teach children how they should live and they will remember it all their life. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 3 and verse 2. My teachings will give you a long and prosperous life. Because you receive the instruction from your parents and they have nothing but goodwill for you. And I can say that about the children here and the parents here in this congregation. It will serve you as you grow older in this life and it will protect you. And you can have a longer life. It's not an absolute, but in general sense. Never take God or your parents for granted. I want to remind you of the parable that is given in Luke the 15th chapter, verse 11 through 21. And I'm going to paraphrase this in the interest of time. There was a child who became a young man. And he said, I want my inheritance now. I'm tired of working on the farm. I want to get away from here and I want to be out on my own. You give me what's coming to me. That's what he told his father. You give what is coming to me. I'm leaving. And his father did that. And he went to a far country and he wasted all of that money. He had a big time. He had a lot of fun. And he had what he thought was friends. And he didn't have fun and he really didn't have a big time. And it come to find out, he didn't really have friends. And he found himself where he was eating with the animals because there was nothing for him to eat, because all of the money that his father had given him, he had wasted. It was gone. And so then he thought to himself, and he said, I have sinned before God, and I've sinned before my father. I'll go back and I will ask my father, just make me as one of your hired hands, because then at least I can live, I can do better. And where we think about that aspect of the parable, I call upon the children of this congregation to never take your parents for granted. Never take your parents for granted. There'll be a time when they will be no more. Carry out the learning that you can receive from your parents as long as they are with you. Don't try to cash in and leave early the teaching of your parents. But as long as you can glean from them, give the ear to the words of wisdom that they have for you. And make sure that you do the will of your parents. Because in doing so, as we said earlier, you glorify God. Here's the conclusion. Children, you are the future of the church. It may not be here. I pray that it is. But you're the future of the church. Young men, you will grow up, and if you are right in the sight of the Lord, you'll be hopefully one day leaders of congregations or teachers of God's word or teachers in the classes or at least those that go out and take care of things on the grounds and on the building. Whatever it is that you have the skill to do. But you are the future of the church. And young ladies, you'll grow up, and if you decide to have children, you'll not only teach your own children, but you should teach also other children likewise. And you should grow up with having care and concern, not only for your own family, but for all the brethren. You're the future. You cannot be at ease or grow complacent in your responsibility. You need to recognize and understand, I have a responsibility as a child. That is to obey my parents, number one, to honor those that are older, and make sure that I act where I don't cause grief to anyone. That's your responsibility. You must continue to grow as a Christian if you are one, and for the younger, you grow in the knowledge of God and come to understand His will, and that's your responsibility. By performing your responsibility, there is great reward. Not only in this life, but also the one to come, because you will grow up being fine Christians, fine husbands and mothers, fine people in the community. And so there is a great responsibility, and ultimately you'll have a home in heaven. And I want to say to the children here, thank you. Thank you for listening to this lesson, and I'll thank you even more when you put it in application in your life, which I know you're going to do. You're going to apply these things in your life because we have good children here. I talk to those now at this time that may not be Christians, may not be children of God. Become one. Humble yourself to the point where you put self to the side and you put Christ first. And allow us this day to assist you in being baptized for the remission of your sins. And then I also talk to those of us that are here today. If we become a Christian, but we've really not been living the life that we should, and we've not really been honoring our Father, I'm talking about our spiritual Father, the way that we should, but rather we are haphazardly serving Him. We're offering sacrifice, but it's the leftover of our time and the leftover of our efforts and leftover of our love that we give Him. Come back to Him. You have a congregation of Christians here that will pray with you and for you. And we would love to have you back in relationship with the Lord and especially in relationship with your brethren. So if there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.